Hello, everybody. How are we all doing? Welcome back to another episode of Maternity Live. Wow. Where do I begin, you guys? I just want to start off by saying the biggest thank you ever. Thank you to every single person that signed the petition. We are at close to 13,000 signatures, which is so incredible. Thank you for the well wishes, the support, the love. Thank you to every single person who reached out and shared their antepartum story with me. Those experiencing it today, those who have previously experienced it, those who worry about potentially experiencing it, multiple time moms who had never even heard the word antepartum before. I'm going to dive in way more on everything that's been going on and share an update. But I just first want to also call out that today's episode is super special because, as some of you know, I sat down with my sister Jackie a few weeks ago and we had the most fun recording our chat. I'm so excited to share it with all of you because some of you know Jackie and I are 16 months apart. So I would say that she's the person that arguably knows me the best because we were each other's first best friend. And given that I am the oldest in my family and our daughter is going to be the oldest of the next teen generation, Jackie is literally the perfect person to speculate with me what we think this little bebe is going to be like. So we also talk about what kind of moms we think we're going to be. We shoot the shit. It was just such a fun conversation, and I'm so excited to share it with all of you. So before we get into the big three, are you missing your boutique fitness studio classes? Now you can work out to all the best studios right from your living room with JetSweat. JetSweat is the leading on-demand personalized fitness platform that provides exclusive access to stream all the best boutique fitness workouts from the best studios in the world. So here's what membership gets you. Over 500 exclusive classes spanning 12 different fitness categories, including yoga, sculpt, Pilates, bar, and more. Workouts range from just 5 minutes to up to 75 minutes, and most can be done without any equipment. For my antepartum and postpartum ladies, there are plenty of prenatal and postnatal classes you can filter to, and even some workouts for kids, so you can have one membership across your whole family. JetSweat gives you access to over 30 of the top fitness studios, with new studios and workouts being added every week, and personalized recommendations to help you find your ideal workout based on time, equipment, body focus, you name it. They want to empower you to take control of your health and wellness on your terms, and I am all for that. So right now, you can try JetSweat with a month free membership on me. Just use promo code LIV at jetsweatfitness.com. Work out anywhere, anytime from your favorite device, and for the fraction of the cost, which most in-studio classes will run you about $40 per class. Just use code LIV to start your free 1 month trial today. That's code LIV at jetsweatfitness.com. Topic number one, just an overall update, hospital update, antepartum update. As I mentioned earlier, we had almost 13,000 signatures so far in support of antepartum women who are alone and in isolation in hospitals across New York State. I can't tell you guys like how important antepartum education and awareness is. I have been spending most of my time here in the hospital really trying to educate myself as much as possible through the doctors and the nurses about antepartum in general. And what I've come to realize is that if you are pregnant today, and this is a very sad and very scary reality, but for anyone that's pregnant today, you could find yourself in an antepartum unit tomorrow. Because high-risk pregnancies and pregnancy complications can literally happen to anybody at any point in time. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's out of your control. It's just something that your body, it's something that happens to your body. And there's a whole host of different reasons and things that cause a variety of different antepartum issues. So like in my case, I have preeclampsia, but some people have placenta previa, premature rupture of membranes, IUGR, which is intrauterine growth restriction, placental abruption. The list goes on. And any of these things could happen to any pregnant person for any variety of reasons. And what I've come to learn is that 10% of women in this country will be hospitalized for antepartum care. I think right now, most people think, you know, you're pregnant and then you show up to the hospital and you deliver a baby. And the reality is that for some women, that's actually not the case. You can be hospitalized for extended periods of time before you're ready for delivery. And that bed rest and buying that extra time to cook that baby longer is so crucial, not only for you, but also for the baby. And I think as a society, we've done a really good job of highlighting and destigmatizing what goes on in the postpartum phase, especially with postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. But we never talk about antepartum. Like, antepartum depression, antepartum anxiety is very, very real. And I don't think that I have to tell anybody that being hospitalized, and let alone being hospitalized alone, can very greatly contribute to that. You know, like, they say that anywhere from 14 to 23% of women will struggle with some symptom of depression during pregnancy. And I feel like that's something that's not talked about often. And I think we should talk about that. Like, there's so many changes happening. There's so much worry going on. Like, there's so much that you could be anxious about. I think the third trimester only makes pregnant people even more anxious. But, like, this is not unique to anybody. This is really common across pregnant women in general. And I think I am happy to have that conversation with anybody, just having had my own experience and realizing, like, all of the other women who have been in my situation, who unfortunately will be in my situation, and people should know. We should talk about this. I mean, pregnancy is not just like 9 blissful months and then you get this wonderful, happy, amazing miracle. Like, it is a journey with many curves, many twists. And like, I think we should really be better about talking about the during. I think we've gotten really good, and we can be even better for sure, but in talking about the post. But what about the during? I mean, if I've learned anything from this experience, is just like how real antepartum is. Every hospital in this country has an antepartum floor, but yet antepartum is not a word that people know. And so I've spent the majority of the week calling pretty much anybody whose phone number I could get, every state senator, local assemblyman, congresswoman, you name it, to help raise awareness for this issue. And the people that I did get in touch with, they had also never heard the term antepartum. They really took the time to listen and to potentially help. But there was a really interesting development that happened this week that I think, you know, covers antepartum women in general in the state, which is fantastic. As you guys probably saw on Tuesday, Governor Cuomo announced a hospital visitation pilot program for 16 hospitals in New York. I can promise you that the second I saw that, my ass was calling patient advocacy like 100 different times for them to call me back and for me to figure out what this means for antepartum in general. From the information that I can gather right now, the hospitals are still waiting for the guidelines from the state in order to implement those parameters across the different hospitals and the different hospital units. And it is also my understanding that this goes into effect on Tuesday, May 26th. So this is a huge development. From some of the local representatives I spoke to after this came into play, they don't necessarily think that antepartum is going to be included in the original executive order around labor delivery and postpartum, but that antepartum women are 100% a part of this hospital visitation pilot program. So at least in my case, I can't even tell you like what a glimmer of hope this is for me, and if I'm assuming for many people in my situation, like every day is just like day by day and like seeing what happens. And now that I have like this date on the calendar that I can circle with like a big fucking red circle of just like knowing that like I can see my husband and like we can be together and like experience this journey and experience together. I'm going to keep it together, I promise. Is just like, that is just what's going to continue to get me through each day, along with knowing that my baby is in the best possible care and I'm doing everything I can to keep my body as emotionally and physically calm as possible. And it's just been an absolute whirlwind. I mean, today is day 15 for me in the hospital. I just, some days can't even believe it's been so long, and other days I'm like, the whole thing is a blur. So I'm just going to keep on keeping on like I know everybody else who's in my situation is, and I will just continue to, you know, not only drive home the message of how important antepartum is, but I am literally in conversations with any single person who can give me information on this hospital visitation pilot program, which I think is so great, not only for antepartum women, just in general, for anybody who's been in a hospital without a support partner. Like, I happen to unfortunately be in the situation of knowing exactly what that feels like. And I just think that, like, for humanity overall, this is, like, wonderful. I really, it's just, like, fantastic. Like, thank goodness, because really having support, especially, like, when you're going through it, is, like, so important. I will be sure to keep you all updated. That I can promise you. Topic number two is also hospital related, but I wanted to make it a little bit more fun because, you know, I've been in the hospital now for 15 days. And if you guys know me, you know that I think, like, my whole life revolves around food, and especially my pregnant self revolves around food. And so people keep asking me, they're like, what's the food like in the hospital? Like, are you doing okay? And to be honest with you, like, the food is actually semi-manageable, except there's, like, one alarming issue that I actually cannot get over. And do you remember a couple of weeks back I was talking about how people treat pregnancy differently, right? Like, you know, everybody has their own rules. Everybody says things you should do, you shouldn't do, and, like, leave pregnant people alone, let them do what they want. But the reality is that there's, like, certain things that are, like, known, right? You shouldn't drink, you shouldn't smoke, those things. And we had that conversation, and I feel very strongly about that conversation. But I feel like two other things on that list, at least for me, are, like, fish, like tuna, which I feel like tuna is just, like, a fish you're not supposed to eat, especially raw tuna. And deli meat. You're not supposed to have deli meat because of listeria. Some people say you can have it warmed through, but deli meat. Anyways, can you guys guess what the two things are for lunch every single fucking day that I'm in the hospital? Tuna fish and a turkey sandwich. And I just literally could not believe it. Like, the first time they brought it in, I'm like, I'm pregnant. I can't eat tuna. And they looked at me like I was kind of crazy. And I was like, pregnant people don't eat tuna. Pregnant people don't eat deli turkey. I didn't really get a response back. And I also know that the menu is extremely limited and modified due to COVID. But I kind of thought it was, like, insane. Like, the days that it was, like, egg salad, I'm like, okay, I can get behind this. Like, people eat egg salad. Like, these eggs are cooked. But I just, like, thought that tuna was, like, a no-go, and I couldn't believe they were bringing it to me in the hospital. One day, one of the lunches was, like, a chicken Caesar wrap, and I'm like, okay, but pregnant people are not supposed to be having Caesar dressing. Like, is this Caesar dressing made with raw eggs? And, like, they're always asking me if I want a coffee. I'm like, there are caffeine limitations. Like, how much caffeine is in this cup of coffee? I just, like, kind of thought it was so funny that I'm in, like, in a hospital of all places, right? And, like, they're giving you the things that, like, you think that you're not supposed to be eating. The deli turkey really tripped me up. I'm like, there's just no way. Like, this deli turkey is not warmed up. They should not be serving this. And I feel like, you know, you take what you get and you don't get upset. But, like, that's crazy, right? Am I crazy for thinking this? Or, like, it's just wild. Anyways, in my situation, I'm pretty fortunate that I can, like, order some food in. And my husband literally brings me a care package, like, every other day. I have so many snacks in my room. It's, like, honestly kind of embarrassing. I've, like, lined up all of my seltzers and waters and drinks, like, on the windowsill, and it kind of looks like a bar, which is just hilarious. But I don't order food every day because the nurses have to go down and get it, and I never want to trouble the nurses any more than I have to. And I love all my nurses so much. I spend so much time with them. Every time someone comes in my room, it's like a half hour to an hour of just, like, conversation. I know everyone's life story and their kids' names and their boyfriend's name and when they're getting married and whatever it is. But, like, the nurses are just amazing. So many people reached out to me and they are, like, antepartum and labor and delivery nurses. And I just have to say, like, the biggest thank you ever, because you guys are doing the Lord's work. And every time a nurse comes in my room, it just, like, makes me so happy, because it's just, like, such a wonderful person taking care of me out of the goodness of their heart. And I just love and appreciate all of my nurses. So that was, like, a little bit tangential to my tuna fish deli meat conversation, but I just can't for the life of me. I mean, today they brought me, like, some cooked fish, and I said, I'm like, I'm not even going to attempt to open this for fear of, like, what my room is going to smell like. Like, this is just not the vibe that I was going for. And so I did order myself a sweet green salad just because, like, I just kind of felt like I deserved it. But I don't get it, man. I just do not get it. Topic number three, completely unrelated, but as you guys know, I've been spending a lot of time with my thoughts. So I figured, you know, I always share what's at the forefront of my mind, and I'm going to do that right now. So what a lot of you probably don't know about me is that, like, growing up, I was, like, terrified of all animals, like any sort of dog, a small dog, a big dog. Like, our grandparents had a little Shih Tzu, and they would literally have to pick it up and put it in the bedroom when we were kids because, like, I could barely walk into the house for fear of animals. And over time, like, our parents wound up getting us a dog, a King Charles Cavalier, just so that we could get over our fear. And honestly, I did. And I love dogs of all shapes and sizes now. I'm still not, like, 100% cool with cats. Like, I just never became, like, a cat person. And I'm also, like, horrifically afraid of birds. Like, if you know me, you know that, like, if I see a pigeon, I will, like, walk 3 blocks the other way just to avoid it. And that kind of heightened in college when I had, like, a super weird dream about, like, a half man, half dog. Like, I don't know, some weird dream experience that then became me being even more afraid of birds. But that's a very weird story, and I don't really remember all that much from it. I just remember in college, I woke up one day and I was, like, 10 times more afraid of birds than I had been before. But Zach grew up with a chocolate lab. He wants a big dog. Right now in our apartment, we're not allowed to have dogs, but I obviously want the child to be around a dog because I feel like I don't want the child to, like, have that same fear that I had in the beginning days of my early life of, like, being afraid of things. And I think once you put them in a situation, like, immediately from the get-go, then hopefully, like, she won't be afraid of animals and she certainly won't be afraid of dogs. So even though we can't technically have dogs in our building, like, my goal is to get the baby to be around Theo as much as possible in a safe and protected way, because I just, like, I just think about myself as a kid and, like, how panicked I was, like, going to other people's houses. And that's just, like, so, it was so insane of me to be so afraid. But until I experienced it myself, then I got over my fear. So if I can immediately give my child that experience, then hopefully they will not have any fears. And also, like, what I think is so interesting too is, like, I have a coworker who just recently had a baby, and she has a chocolate lab, and she said that her baby doesn't even flinch from the sound of the dog's bark because I think the baby recognizes the noise from utero. And just, like, literally, like, barking is nothing that alarms the baby because the baby is just used to it and has been around it since day one. And I just think that's so awesome. Like, how can I do that for my own baby? I'm like, Theo doesn't bark all that much, but I also feel like he's gonna love his little cousin. So the more I'm trying to figure out in my head, like, how I can get this child to be around animals as early as possible so that they don't have an early childhood experience like I did, which was, like, absolutely being afraid of everything because, yeah. No bueno. But anyways, that's enough about me. I know you all want to hear from Jackie. My sister Jackie joins me on the podcast today. We have an awesome conversation just about everything, but really mostly what we think my daughter's going to be like. You know, I'm all down for speculation nation. And that's exactly what this conversation is. So without further ado, Miss Jackie O. Welcome, Jackie O.
Hi, what's up?
What's up? I'm so excited to have you on Maternity Live, and you are the first sister making a solo appearance on the podcast.
Very exciting, very honored and flattered. Sorry, other sisters.
Well, I think it was intentional on my part for many reasons, but I was explaining this earlier in the podcast that there are so many parallels between my baby and me, which is I am the oldest Big Steen, and this child is going to be the oldest Baby Steen. And I just feel like mm-hmm. there's nobody that knows me better than you and just, like, how I was as a kid, especially. True. And so I feel like you are the only person that can really speculate on what we think this kid's going to be like.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I have a good idea of what this kid is going to be like, but Then I also feel like maybe she'll just be the total opposite of what we expect. Because I feel like you and Shapira are so similar. So when we think of your baby, we're like, oh, she's going to be like, the baddest bitch in the playground. Like that's how you were growing up. You were
Right.
just beating up people left and right. Not beating up, more like mentally beating them up. I don't think you ever got physical with someone, but like you would take someone down to size if they needed to be. And so we just like think of your daughter as going to be a mini you, but I feel like she could just like come out and I don't know, she could have red hair and she could be short and be somebody's camper. I don't know.
No, 100%. And I'm actually so glad you touched upon that because I just want to defend myself for one second and say that yes, like I was definitely like a major Bhulvan as a kid, but like in the right circumstances. Like I did it to protect like the honor of
Oh
those
yeah.
closest to me, you know?
You weren't like the schoolyard bully. You were like standing up for those people who had been bullied. You were like the bully, the protector
Yeah, I
of
was
the
definitely
campus.
like a very mean kid, and I definitely did a lot of things that like I'm certainly not proud of 20 years later. But I also feel like for you specifically, like anybody that looked at you wrong, like I wanted to take them out.
Yeah, so I feel like we just assume that your daughter is going to be, Queen Bhulvan, but we also assume that you were going to have a son first. Like we never even really thought about the fact that you could have a daughter, and then like it turns out she's a girl. So I just feel like this one is really going to upend some of our assumptions.
Totally. Can we talk about that for a second? Like, did you really think that I was having a boy too? I know it was kind of just like assumed from the beginning, everybody in the family, but like, what did you really think?
Yeah, no, I didn't think, I knew you were gonna have a boy. Like, that's what you were gonna have. I really wasn't like even thinking about it because I just felt that I knew. And
I
then when
know.
it turned out it was a girl, that was really shocking. It was so exciting, but I don't know why we all just assumed it was a boy.
I know, same. I feel like Shapiro really wanted it, so he was like willing it into the world and he was like putting that energy out there. But I actually think that he's gonna be a way better girl dad, even than like being a boy dad, even though like he would be a great dad regardless. I feel like he just thinks he knows what to do with a boy and he just like wants a son who plays football, but he doesn't realize like it's like football versus like everything else in the world.
Yeah, and I hopefully he'll have the chance to be both.
Right. I'm 100% with you. All right, but getting back to me for a second, Jackie, what was it like, one, to have me as a big sister, and two, just to like have a big sister? Like, I feel like your personality, I don't know if you would be cut out to be an oldest with your, demeanor and like your poise and just like, people don't realize about you that like you're shy when they first meet you. And then over time, like you
Yeah.
become like bubbly and, so warm and open. Whereas with me, it's like you just see what you get like right from the start. So it's like, how do you think this child being the oldest and then like me being the oldest, how is that going to affect the personality of the kid based on your experience with me?
Yeah, I feel like we don't have to beat around the bush. Like I'm not equipped to be the oldest. Like even if I can, even when I'm like right or I want to take charge, like I didn't even want to have like the first kid in the family. Like I just don't like to do things first or just like be the oldest. I really like being like second. But I feel like it's so apt that you're having the first child. Like it just feels like that's the way it's supposed to be. And
You know
this
what's
kid,
funny
I mean,
about that?
I can't see her being anything but you.
I know. But Wine Rib is the oldest in his family.
I know. And so, I mean, but even if we have kids like soon, then our kids will be the oldest on that side. So it still lines up.
Totally. So you'll get a little bit of that for sure.
Yeah, but Weinerb isn't like older than Shapiro. So it's like, I mean, even though
Right.
these are like months differences in age, we still think of everything as like oldest goes first. We're so like keen on birth order. And I feel like so much of our dynamic is like founded on that order of things that it doesn't have to always line up, but it makes sense like to us when it does.
No, totally. And I think the reason why that's true is because actually, like, Claudia got married first. So I feel like for like the last couple of years, like, where I kind of always felt like, Zach and I talked about this on the episode we did together, which is like being a tester child, like you're the first one to apply and go to college and like do all these things. And it's like now I'm back, like, in the reins being the first to experience pregnancy. And I'm just like,
I feel like that's why I started this podcast, because like I don't have anybody to vent to who understands like what I'm going through, versus like with wedding stuff, we would just all run to Claudia all the time and say like, how do we do this or what should we do for that? And usually people are coming to me for those sorts of things. And, you know, now with pregnancy, like there's no one for me to go to.
Yeah, totally.
Well, Juju, speaking of our childhood, what is your favorite childhood memory of us?
Oh, that is very tough. Oh my God. I have memories, but there's not like one that stands out. I feel like the ones that stand out are like the times we've got in trouble.
Totally.
But like, I also have memories that aren't mine, but just like stories that moms told us of how we were like when we were really little before we even had memories, like how anytime you went to get a snack or like you were given a snack, you always made sure there was one for me. Like if you were having a popsicle, I was having a popsicle. But I don't remember those things, but that's just really like what I remember most of like our very early childhood. Once we're like in middle school, high school, it's different. But I feel like for a while when it was just you and me and Claudio is either not born or in utero or a fetus, those are like the ideas that I have of how we were.
Totally. I think my very first memory is when Claudia was born. And I just like, I have this visual in my head of Claudia coming home from the hospital and Jackie, you lost your shit. Like you were jumping up like it was a toy, like Dolly, like just like grabbing at her. It was like the cutest thing. But that is actually, I think, like my earliest memory, which would make me like 3-ish, which is like very early to have a memory. But I distinctly remember like being in the kitchen of our old house and like you were just like jumping up, like trying to just like grab at Claudia, who was literally probably like 7 pounds, tiny little thing at the time. It just was the cutest thing.
I don't remember that, like having been there, but I've heard that story so many times that I feel like I was there, which totally. I was.
No, my real actually favorite childhood memories of us is like when we used to like do like messed up shit, like cut pieces of our hair and like lock them in like little chests that we had like hidden in our room and like write journals and like poetry of like being emo and our feelings, and then like also locking them away and like hiding the key. We had like little trunks that had our names on it and we just like hid weird stuff in there, mostly our hair.
Yeah.
Because we used to just cut our hair and then wear headbands to cover it up, but like you couldn't cover it up, you know?
Yeah, those are like some of my least favorite memories because I just remember like all the anxiety I would always have about like someone finding it or like, you know, mom figuring out that we cut our hair. And I just don't even know why we were doing it, considering it was giving us so much like grief.
So much anxiety, literally. It's such a good point. But like, I feel like we just like, that was how we were like daredevils. Cause we weren't bad kids, you know, we were good kids. We were good kids. We really were. But like, those are like the things that we did to like, you know, be rebels and
be crazy. Yeah.
It's like, why did we do that?
I know, but now I feel like when you talk to your friends and stuff or just like other adults, it's like, oh, everyone just did weird shit like that when they were kids. Like that's
totally,
just kids.
Totally. Okay, Jackie, I want to move into aunthood because you are known as the number one aunt Sneetchess in this group. And so,
wow. I mean, if I'm known that way, it's just because I've literally forced all of you to say it. I don't know that that's the truth, but thank you.
I think that you've been working hard at your personal brand and it's paid off. So I'm proud of you. But what is like the life lesson that you're most excited to teach or to instill in your new niece, your niecey vibes?
Ooh, there's so many. Like, obviously,
do people know that,
that
like, you call the baby niecey?
Like, oh, yeah. I call her niecey Nash. Because she's our niece and she's niecey Nash.
Exactly.
She's going to be a fabulous actress one day. I guess I feel like regardless of gender, obviously, since it's a girl, I'm really excited to, you know, shop and do all that fun stuff. Even though I could do that with a boy too, but he might not be as interested. I mean, and also niecey might not be that interested. So we'll have to see. But I just feel like lessons wise, I just want to encourage all children everywhere. Just like always encouraging them to be themselves, you know,
yeah.
And never, like, I feel like sometimes as a parent, like your kid can't just like do exactly everything that they want. You know, you need to have rules and all that stuff. But I feel like for an aunt, like the job is just to really encourage the kid in whatever part of like hobbies things that they really like, to just be super encouraging because you don't have to lay down the law about other stuff.
Yeah, like being an aunt is such a fun position because it's like you don't have to instill any of the rules, but you get kind of all the fun perks. And I feel like the kid knows that because you're family, like they're able to go to you with things. Like it's not, you know, it's not weird that they would confide in you, but like you're not going to punish them. You're just like always going to be a good, safe place for them to like vent and talk to and go to for advice.
Yeah, that's even similar, like not to compare it to Theo, but like we're Theo's aunts. We just get to see him, hug him, like enjoy him, take pictures of him, like all good. But we're not there when he shits in the living room. And it's like we don't get those negatives. We get all of the perks and none of the responsibilities, really, which is why, I mean, low key, aunthood is the best hood.
Totally. But also I feel like, especially because, you know, obviously we don't know the state of the world when I do deliver, but like I will need help and I'm going to put like a little bit of responsibility on you.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Okay. Are you up for the task?
Yeah, sure. Whatever you need.
Okay, good. Because I definitely will need you. I know Claudia has already, she claims that, you know, she's going to be at my house every day, but like, I don't know if she knows that that means also changing diapers.
Oh, wow.
I think she
hadn't really thought about it.
Yeah. It's like, you can be over every day, but like, you're going to be helpful.
Yeah. No, I really hadn't given this phase. I was really skipping ahead to like, you know, when she's 3, 4, 12, I wasn't thinking about like 1 week.
Right. The other thing I wanted to get your perspective on, which I would love for you to share with everybody, is just baby names in general. So I feel like where you and I differ is like, I've never really like thought about like names that I would name my child, but like you have a whole like naming, you know, categorization of like how you're thinking about or you would think about, you know, whether it's like everything with the same letter, or everything is the same type of thing, like a flower or whatnot. I don't know. I'm making it up, but I'm just saying. Like, how are you thinking about baby names? And are you? And I know you are for me, but also just for yourself.
For myself, I feel like I'm always thinking about baby names and I'm always just like writing down names that I like. And I write down names that I like together, like, but I don't love them separately. And I actually feel like when the time comes, I'm going to choose a name that's not even on my list. Like I feel like I have all these names that I like in theory, but I'm just going to feel it. You know, I feel like it's a feeling, like, you know, it's like your wedding dress. Like you just know.
Totally. But also a lot of that has to do with like when the kid comes out. So it's like, part of it is you have to have a few, you got to have a few at the top of your mind. And then like, when you see that face, you're like, she could be a Jackie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's good to be prepared, but I feel like people might get like, and it's similar with your wedding too. It's like, it's good to be prepared, but I feel like sometimes people who aren't prepared, like feel like they're at, you know, a deficit, but it's like, no, we'll all get to the same destination.
Right.
And you could just choose a name. It could take a second. It could take a year, you know?
Totally. But you also do have to make a decision rather quickly. Like once you get in the room, I keep like having anxiety that I'm going to like change the kid's name like 3 weeks in and be like, nope, this wasn't the one for me.
I feel like, I don't know.
Could you imagine?
It's a lot of pressure.
It is so much pressure. It's crazy. Jackie, just a fun question for you. People want to know who's going to get their driver's license first, you or the baby.
I think that at this point in time, Snitch and I will get it together. So it's just a matter of like whose comes in the mails first. But, I'm sorry. I thought you meant me or Snitch, the baby, because that's what mom calls Snitch.
Oh, Snitch is the baby too, but no. Literally.
Honestly,
the baby.
I want to say me, but your baby has like a clear path to her license. Whereas for me, like I don't. Like your baby will be getting her license in 16 years, period.
Right.
For me, like I don't know.
I know. Also,
I might get in 1 year. I might get in 20 years.
Shapiro is such a driver. Like he loves being in the car that I just feel like that parenting style wise is like something he's going to like instill the child like has to do, you know? They don't have to do their homework, but like they have to get a driver's license.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
What are some things you think we'll do differently in our parenting styles?
You and I.
Mm-hmm. Like who do you think you would be stricter than me?
I actually do think so.
People don't realize that like you would be strict. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm just like very type A. And so I feel like in order to feel like I have control over stuff, like I'm just going to be strict. But also because we grew up in a strict household and I really appreciate that. And I know that you do too, but I feel like if maybe in some ways you were raised even stricter than I was, so you might feel like that was too strict. And so you might be more lenient because of that. Whereas I feel like it was the right amount of strictness.
Right. That's super fair. I definitely think I'll be strict, and I think I'll be stricter than Shapiro. But I think what's funny is that I don't think people realize that, like, you would be strict because you just, like, you know, you're just, like, fun and bubbly and colorful and fashionable. But it's like, no, like, you're going to lay down the fucking law.
Yeah. No, I feel like people who follow me on Instagram, like, wouldn't think of me as a strict person. But people who listen to the toast, like, know that that's who I am. Like, even today, Claudia and I were recording an episode and I was literally, like being a teacher, telling her to put away her stuff, like, just being strict.
But I feel like also, especially like when Margot was growing up and like we would hear if like Margot drank or like did something that like we were just like worried about, we both, probably even more so you than me, were like very, we would get very strict with her. That was like our little test for sure. Of like figuring out like our parenting styles. I can only think of like parenting in terms of like a curfew, you know, drinking, like the troublesome stuff, not like do your homework. Cause I just feel like my kid's going to do their homework and I'm not, I mean, who knows, but like, I imagine myself, like I always waited till the last minute to do my homework, but like I still did it. You know, I wasn't a kid that was like needed to be told to like do things, and I never skipped school. I never did those sorts of things, but it's more so like the first time you go to a party. That's like how I think about parenting. Yeah,
I feel like that's the stuff that I'll be strict about. Like, we were never allowed to go on like spring break trips in high school. And I completely agree with that decision. I think that is so crazy that kids do that. And my kids will not be going on those trips. And you know what? Now when I look back on it, I'm like glad that I wasn't able to go. I was not like emotionally ready for something like that.
Well, it didn't impact your life at all. Like, you don't look back on those things and you're like, damn, I regret this. Like, you don't even think about them.
Yeah. Whenever it happens, like I happen to think about it, I'm like, wow, I'm so glad I wasn't able to go.
Jackie, are you getting a little bit of baby fever from this conversation or just in general from my own experience?
I feel like I have like a good amount of baby fever. Like, I feel like that's definitely something that I'm excited about. I feel like I also kind of like give myself like pregnancy fever because I like live my life as if I'm a pregnant woman. Like, I don't drink and I'm just like very, you know, I just need to be home all the time. I'm always like feeling sick. And I feel like I have like pregnancy by proxy, you know?
Totally. But I also feel like it's like when, God willing, you do get pregnant, like, I feel like you could also then have the other experience where it's like, you have an easy, wonderful pregnancy, you have lots of energy, you feel really good in your body. Cause it's like, for me, you know, like I was out drinking and having a grand old time. And then it's like, then I just like took a turn. And I just feel like you think that you know what your pregnancy is going to be like, and then you have absolutely no idea what is going to become of you.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely curious about that. But it's not like on the immediate, like, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like sometimes people like expect me to be pregnant, or sometimes like they're speculating about it. Like, I have like definitely like a little tummy all the time, whether like I'm big or small at the moment. I feel like people are always like kind of like looking to see if I'm pregnant.
I think they're just also or probably they're not, excited.
But like, you know, the toasters just like love to speculate on stuff. I don't know. But I think also people are respectful enough to know not to like, you know, comment on stuff. And
Right. Like, you know, if you took a bad picture saying Jackie looks pregnant, like that's so mean, you know?
Right. Exactly. Right. So I don't know, but I'm just taking things at my own pace, you know?
Amazing.
But it's definitely something I'm excited about.
Yeah. And I think Weinreb he'll be a really good dad too. I feel like all the boys we married will be great parents. They just like, they have such like dad vibes, you know, for being like, in their late 20s, early 30s.
They're going to be so lenient, you know, and that's why we really are going to have to watch.
So lenient. I think Ben would probably be the most lenient of the three of them though.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you think Weinreb? Because I don't know. I don't think it would be Shapiro, but I don't know.
I feel like it could be my husband, yeah, who's like super lenient.
Really? That's so funny. I feel like it's just like people care about different things. Like, I think Zach, just because he thinks about it a lot, will be really like committed to the extracurriculars and after school activities. Like, he's excited about like our child, like having their own passions. And I feel like he would then like care about getting them there and making sure that like they do what they need to do, whether it's like rehearsal or practice or all of those things. Cause like he is obsessed with the whole notion of the kid like being multidimensional and like having things that like they like to do. Not that we necessarily like, you know, put the kid on the path to do certain things, even though if it was a boy, it would be football. But like, you know, if they like music or if they like dance or if they like sports, like I just feel like I know that like I am off the hook from that stuff because like that is the type of stuff he cares about. What do you think my kid's going to be into, Jackie? Well, it's actually funny because you keep like making jokes that like maybe my kid will be like more like you than like me. And I think what people don't realize is like you were like super into music, super into sports. You know?
Yeah, we were big tomboys growing up.
Big.
I feel like your kid will definitely be into sports just like not even because of Shapiro, but just because all of us were growing up. Like we, yeah. And I think like kids playing sports is good as long as they enjoy it. So I could definitely see that. But I feel like also nowadays there's all these new hobbies for kids, like, you know, stuff like TikTok and being a YouTuber or like
I know. I don't think I want my kids on social media. That's like another thing we think a lot about. It's like, you know, before they're able to consent to being on social media, like how much we share of them. And then I can't imagine them being like 10 years old with a TikTok. Like that actually terrifies me. I might be strict about social media.
You can't even be on TikTok until you're 13. So they kind of do that for you.
Oh, that's good.
But I agree. But they might still just like watching YouTube videos, you know, like kind of like how Northwest is obsessed with beauty videos. It's not like she has a channel, but you just like watch other people.
I know. Yeah. Well, I would be okay with watching stuff because I definitely think that like, you know, you can't control screen time with the kids, nor at this point, like should you want to, just because there are so many like good resources. So like kids can like figure out what they like to do and whatnot. But oh my God, the social media of it all actually gives me a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
They're going to be like a little influencer. I don't think Zach will allow for that.
No. Nor should he. But if they want it, like we all have platforms, if they want to play around, you know, I think there's ways to get your kids involved and make them feel like they're getting to do what they want while not actually.
Yeah. It's like if they want it, you know, I think that that is a big thing. But, you know, what if we don't have the same wants? That's where my anxiety goes.
Before we continue with this interview, if you're pregnant or nursing, dehydration is your worst enemy. And proper hydration is especially important for the 70 to 80% of pregnant women who experience morning sickness. Thankfully, there's Liquid IV, the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated. Liquid IV is made with clean, simple ingredients. It's non-GMO, vegan, free of gluten, dairy, soy, and any artificial ingredients. It is safe for use during pregnancy and nursing, but of course, if you have specific medical concerns, please consult your doctor. Liquid IV can provide the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water, plus you get the added bonus of 5 essential vitamins, vitamin C, B3, B5, B6, and B12. Here's one of the things I love most about Liquid IV. They are on a mission to change the world. They're donating 2.3 million servings in response to COVID-19. Products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. The other thing I love most about Liquid IV, it tastes really good. Liquid IV is available nationwide at Target, Whole Foods, and Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code LIVE at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use code LIVE at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code LIVE.
Okay, Juger, I don't know if I have any more questions for you. Do you have questions for me? What kind of mom do you think I'm going to be?
No, this was so fun. I think you're going to be like easygoing, but just like very, like to a schedule, you know, like just have your stuff together, but it's not going to be like a struggle for you. That's how I feel like you are in life. Like you're always working, cooking, cleaning, like just doing all the things that like for a normal person is like, oh, I have to do all those things. Those, you just do them like without stressing about them. So I feel like that's the kind of mom you're going to be, like everything's just going to get done. But for someone else, it might require a lot of effort. But for you, that's just like how you run.
That's so sweet. Thank you, Jackie. One thing I did want to share up front, because we were making like kind of jokes, but I actually don't think it's a joke that my child is going to be more like you than like me, is in some of my scans right now, I've shared some of this, but not all. But number one, she's like super flexible, like legs always like in the back of her head. And I'm just like, okay, Zach and I are the least flexible people on earth. So it's definitely not from us. And also in my last scan, her legs were crossed, like very prim and proper. And her hand was under her chin. She was being very dainty and very ladylike. And those are very Jackie O traits, like not so much, you know, Olivia O traits. So I do feel like already she's like acting, you know, she has similar, you know, has a similar disposition to her auntie.
Love to see it.
The only thing that is probably not auntie-friendly is she's a little camera shy from what we can tell in the scans right now. Like every time they're taking the photos, like she does, you know, she takes after us in that way because, you know, we don't love the photos so much. But
well, to her credit, she actually doesn't know that photos are being taken of her. So she's just like sort of being candid.
I guess so. I guess so.
You know, because she can't see the camera.
Yeah.
She can't see the camera.
That's fair. So.
You never know. She might be a ham later on.
She has a great defender in her aunt, Sneetjes.
It's true.
Anywho, Jackie O, where can people follow you? No, I'm just kidding. I would plug for anything that you want me to plug, but you tell me what do you want the people to know about you?
You know, follow me on Instagram at Jackie O Problems and listen to The Morning Toast. Oh, and the Redheads Book Club. I feel like that's actually a great hobby for anyone who's like pregnant or has some downtime is our book club. I've just been like going around town promoting it everywhere because it's so much fun.
So much fun.
We choose one book every month, two books a month in quarantine. And we do episodes, there's four of us recapping the book, like talking about all the big themes and questions. And it's pretty interesting stuff.
That is interesting stuff. Maybe one week I will come on as a guest of the Redheads and make a book recommendation and just be like a guest host for one time. Because I just like, I personally don't have the time to like read all the books that you guys are reading, and especially at the speed in which you people read. But I do enjoy reading. And I also have some books that I am interested in reading. And I feel like the Redheads is a good way for me to like actually do it versus just like have a collection piling up.
Yeah, I'll have to talk to the other members. And
I think the other members would accept me as a guest. Well, you haven't had any guest hosts yet, have you?
No, we haven't. And the way that it's formatted now, it's not really like that sort of thing.
Oh, excuse me. I'll have to talk to the members
and get back to you.
Excuse me. I'll just have to talk to the members. No, actually, though, I feel like I wouldn't have to come on your podcast. But if there was a good book recommendation from your podcast that you think I should read, I might take you up on that.
Yeah. And you know what, if there was, cause sometimes I read a book and I'm like, this person, like Rebecca has to read this book. Or I was just telling your friend, Danny, like she has to read this book that I read. She would love it. And if I found that sort of book that I felt like you needed to read, I would make sure that you did.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Bye, Jackie O. Thank you for everything.
Bye.
Best sister
love
number
ya.
Two there is.
Ooh, ooh.
Love ya. Bye, Jackie. Tell everybody that about your message machine. Love ya. Bye.
Love ya. Bye. That's my answering machine. If you ever get the pleasure of hearing it one day, it's like the first answering message I ever made when I was in fifth grade. And I wrote an original song for it and it's still there. So when you call me, you think I have a daughter or something or a niece who's singing about their answering machine.
Are you going to sing it for us or no?
I don't know. It might be a topic for another day. Let's leave them wanting more.
Leave them wanting more. But just so everybody knows, it ends with love ya. Bye.
Love ya. Bye.
And like who, like you get legit calls on your phone, like, and you don't always answer
100%. No. I think people just assume it's like, I have a little niece that recorded it. And then sometimes people are really impressed by it. So they ask me and I tell them the whole story and they just think it's like really cool. It's never gotten me into a bad place. It's always like a really good icebreaker.
No, totally. But like also I can't even wrap my head around the fact that you've had it since the fifth grade. I actually feel like you probably had it since the fourth grade because I got a phone in the fifth grade and I feel like we got a phone at the same time.
Oh, really? I just assumed I got a phone in fifth grade, but maybe I was just taking your memories.
No, I think it was just like, we were just only 1 year off. That's also another thing that I do love is that we are very close in age. That is something that I tell Zach all the time. Like, not only do I just want to bang all these pregnancies out, but I feel like being close in age is just like, makes for like more fun childhood experience too, because like you just have a built-in friend. I said it earlier, Jackie, you're my first friend in the whole world.
Oh, thanks.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
And I was true. Yours, obviously. Like you didn't have a choice.
Obviously. But,
you know, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Anyways, love ya. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
That's a wrap on today's episode, guys. As always, thank you so much for joining me on Maternity Live. Thank you for all of the support. Thank you for signing the petition. Thank you for caring about antepartum women. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
As always, you can email me, DM me, leave a review, join our Maternity Livers podcast group. I love hearing from all of you. Until next time, bye everybody.